Well, we're determined to have some fun today. Good afternoon. This is the session on the National Public Health Performance Standards Program, Breaking Barriers and Bringing Senses of Humor to Strengthen Public Health Systems. This is session 3297 on your scorecard, certainly number one in your heart. And I'm Jim Pearsall with ASTO. And I want you to know that none of us have any relationships to disclose in this kind of a forum. See, everybody's waking up. We're getting through that afternoon lull, and we're keen and ready to go. I'll introduce each of our speakers as we go, but you're in for a very good session on the performance standards tools and how you can use them and their benefit for you. Our first speaker is Liza Corzo from CDC, who is the brains behind this performance standards program and is going to provide us with a brief overview and some interesting new concept that I've never heard of before to tweak your interests. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Liza Corzo.
Well, that was a good test of Jim. He didn't ask for bios from any of us, so I was like, what's he going to say? Of course, we've known each other long enough, I was a little scared of what he was going to say, but as Jim stated, I'm going to talk a little bit about just what the Performance Standards Program is in general. And I thought this was probably the most challenging piece of the panel, because there are a lot of you in the room who are already pretty familiar with the performance standards. So how do I do this in a way that doesn't bore you to tears, but those of you who are not familiar with it, know enough about some of the basics of the program that you're going to actually understand what Melody and then Ron are going to be discussing after. So it was a fine balance to try and hit, and we'll see how well I've done after the fact. I always like to start off, even though it's a little bit boring and dry, but I always like to start off with discussing a little bit about the Performance Standards Program vision and goals. Because I think this is really what grounded us in what we want to accomplish right from the start, back when we started this program 10 years ago. We are on our 10-year anniversary, thank you. And they continue to anchor us to this day. And the vision is all about improving the quality of public health practice. And I think that's a really important concept. This is not for accountability and check marks, but this is really about raising the bar of public health practice. The first goal was about providing performance standards for public health practice. And when we started this back in 1998, there really were no broad, cross-cutting performance standards out there to measure public health performance. I mean, there were lab standards, and of course everyone knows that hospitals have been in the business of standards and accreditation for quite some time, but when it comes to public health practice, this was pretty cool new ground for us to be trying to cover. And so that was, I think, just an important goal to even attempt. Of course, strengthening and building partnerships, and of course, I already just mentioned the continuous quality improvement aspect. Our last goal was about strengthening the science base. We really don't know much, unfortunately, about public health practice and where our strengths and weaknesses. And so this does begin to build our understanding and our knowledge of where the strengths and weaknesses are. And it's something that contributes to the very important field of public health systems research. So I want to acknowledge that aspect. How many of you are familiar with, or would say that you're familiar with the National Public Health Performance Standards Program? Okay. Never heard of it. Okay. So we already have some good knowledge in the room, so I won't try to go too deep, but I did see some folks not raise their hands, so I don't want to miss the basics too much. There are three assessment instruments, one for state public health systems, one for local public health systems, and one for local public health governance, which is generally intended for use by local boards of health, and it's often used in a very orientation and educational way. But the state and local public health system assessment instruments really have a unique focus in that it's the system. These are not standards for one particular organization, and it's all about bringing together and acknowledging the system that and the different partners that contribute to public health at both the state and local level. So that's something that's new and different, and yet it's something that we thought had a good connection with the APHA theme in general this year, breaking barriers. And so I just want to make that connection. There are seven partners who have been very active with helping to both build and continue to support the national performance standards. As mentioned, I am with CDC's Office of Chief of Public Health Practice, and we play a kind of centralized role, and let's also admit we provide the funding, and nothing can happen without the dollars. I think when you look at the alphabet soup up here, presumably everyone knows what APHA is. ASTO, NACHO, and NALBO, of course, play very important roles in reaching the particular constituencies of state health departments, local health departments, and local boards of health that represent each of these three key instruments. So they have each been respectively instrumental in working to develop these instruments, and now, of course, the technical assistance and support for working with sites to help them use each of those instruments and, of course, move into performance improvement. The National Network of Public Health Institutes plays a really important role linking with public health institutes in many places. Institutes have actually been the coordinators and conveners. Just thinking of in New Mexico and in, okay, I shouldn't have started off in this route, but there are a handful of, Jennifer? Illinois, yes, Maine. So yeah, in multiple, New Hampshire, the public health institutes have played really great roles in coordinating the assessment processes in numerous states. And as you can hear from the voice bopping up and piping up in the back of the room, we have our partner, one of our partners from NNPHI here. They also play a really important role in technical assistance and training. And finally, with the Public Health Foundation, you're going to hear from Ron Bialik, and you'll get a real appreciation for what they bring to the table in terms of performance improvement and the data and reporting system. In terms of the history, really quickly, this, as I mentioned, has been a project that's been underway since 1998. So again, we are celebrating in some way, shape, or form our 10-year anniversary. The first 4 years of the program were really spent through in a thorough and an in-depth process in developing many, many, many iterations of those version one instruments and going through comprehensive testing and field testing work and working with work groups to really try and get it right. So it really wasn't until 2002 that we felt we had good instruments in place and we received OMB clearance to release those for use in the field. So those version one instruments have been out there and in use from 2002 until just recently in 2007. And during that time, they were used in more than 30 different states and about 600 different localities. I mean, there was broad, widespread use. And actually, later on, I'm going to show you a map that just shows you a little bit of how this has spread across the nation. But at the same time version one instruments were out in the field, we realized the importance of the performance standards is that this represents what's current and what's the best of public health practice. So, of course, we need to keep these updated and modernized. So we began to undertake, concurrently with supporting our version one instruments, a process to update version two. We euphemistically called it update because we didn't want to do a mass revision, but it was kind of more of a revision than an update. But it was an intent to say, well, what needs to be done to keep this as current as possible, and where can we seek some opportunities to make this better and to learn from some of the feedback we've been getting from the field. And that was a two-year process with, of course, those instruments being released in fall of 2007. Both the version one and version two instruments were really developed with very similar principles in mind, very practice-driven with ASTO, NACHO, and NALBO work groups steering the process, a lot of field testing, some validation studies, and so that's something that we feel has helped us understand the use of these performance standards instruments, especially when it comes to their ability in being used in, for public health systems research purposes. We very frequently talk about the four concepts that we say underpin what the performance standards program is all about. First of all, they are based on the 10 essential public health services. I'm sure most everyone here knows, these are a 10 essential service framework that was developed and released in 1994-95, and they really describe the public health responsibilities very broadly. Now, when we started this, we said, can we focus in on the agency? And it was at that point in time, very early in 1998, that we realized agencies really differ so much. We weren't really quite sure how to focus in on agencies, so we really thought about this and said, really what's important is let's focus in on what needs to be provided at the state or local level. And so we decided at that point where we, and when I say we, I'm talking the global we, all the partners that I just listed, really felt we could tackle this was through the concept of the public health system. So what needs to be done in a given jurisdiction, regardless of how it's provided, and acknowledging that that may look very different in Kentucky and in Iowa and in Florida. And so that, of course, is our second big component of this, and that is that it focuses on the overall public health system. So when you read these standards, you're going to say, we as the public health agency, if you happen to be with a local health department or a state health department, we're not doing everything. But hopefully you're thinking about how other partners are bringing different pieces to the table. So it's something that has really been thought-provoking, I think, and enlightening for some folks to really think about this. The standards also describe an optimal level of performance. And so in reading the standards, they are really set at a fairly high bar and saying, if you're the ideal public health system or the ideal local board of health, this is what you're doing. And that's intended to say, not that everyone should be up there, and in fact, if we see scores of 100%, we get a little suspicious, but instead, how far are you from the top of that gold standard? And that's, of course, what supports that process of quality improvement, really understanding where your gaps are and then what you can think about. I talked a little bit already about the version 2 instruments and the fact that they were guided by peer-driven work groups. We also tapped into a whole host of subject matter experts, preparedness, public health law, laboratories, to ensure that areas in which we felt there have been some changes or there's a need to ensure that this is as up-to-date and current as possible, they really helped to help us understand where some of those updates could be made and changes in terminology or best resources. We did a little bit of limited field testing, and we released this with our OMB clearance in fall of 2007. But through this process, a handful of different changes from version 1 to version 2 were operationalized. I, of course, have already mentioned that the content itself was modernized and updated where necessary. In essence, it's really very similar in terms of these are still some of the same key activities that need to be done vis-a-vis to the 10 essential services. We also, of course, tried to learn from what we'd heard all throughout the use of our version 1 instruments and, of course, from our work groups in terms of how can we better streamline these instruments and think about how they can be more user-friendly. So one of these changes is what we think is, we pat ourselves on the back and think it was a real genius of an idea. That's the concept of this discussion box. So many of you folks who may be familiar with our version 1 instruments might recall that there are numerous laundry lists of long questions, that sub-questions that get at different points under certain STEM questions. We decided that's not really necessary. It's important that these be discussed and thought about, but do we really need formal responses on every single one of these elements? And the resounding answer from all three of our work groups was no. And so we moved a lot of those laundry lists into discussion boxes so that system partners could still discuss those same points And we retain a lot of the integrity of these instruments as a performance measurement because we're still asking about the same things, but we're not requiring the same level of tedious formal responses on hundreds of different questions quite the same way we were in for version one. We tweaked our response options just a little. One of the biggest changes in that tweak was the adding of kind of an absolute no, zero activities being done in this area, which wasn't quite something that we had in our version one. We had kind of zero to minimal effort being one big response. And we also added something that I think, we all hopefully think, contributes to the performance improvement opportunities, and that's an optional questionnaire that gets at the priority. So if you go through this, you answer questions about what your public health system thinks are the priority of these model standards to your partners. And by doing that, you get a report back that displays where is the highest priority and the lowest performance, and that rises to the top as something you may want to consider addressing almost immediately. And so instead of getting lots of data back and having that deer in headlights look of saying, where do I look at first, that might help you filter where to focus first. We also included agency contribution questions, a similar optional questionnaire, and that, of course, may have some real opportunity for those that are thinking about this as a preparatory tool for accreditation. Okay, gotta hurry. For those of you who don't know the instrument, this is what it looks like. Essential Public Health Services. When I said model standards, it's kind of a word picture of what is done. Underneath, there are questions that get at those elements. So, of course, if you answer yes, you would look like that model standard. And these are those discussion toolboxes I was referring to. I mentioned already the fact that this is something for the public health system as a whole. These are the many, many different types of partners, and certainly not even a comprehensive list of the types of organizations that might be included. Many states have used this in a coordinated statewide way where many of the locals or many of the boards use this at the same time, and maybe the state and the locals use it at the same time. That, of course, helps us be able to give you some really good coordinated technical assistance and support. Of course, quite a few have just done this because it's right for their system, and that's that. But we've really seen it used for a lot of different purposes, and I'm not going to talk about these maps other than to say this, I think, gives you a sense of the state, local, although the colors don't really give you a good understanding of what the lightest limited use color and governance use might be, just to show that this is kind of spreading across the nation. This is really well connected with several related initiatives that many of you might be familiar with. It is one, the local instrument in particular, is one of the assessments that is done as part of that broader MAP community health improvement process. And that, of course, is an immediate opportunity for those that use it within the MAP process, really seeing this as part of a bigger picture of community health improvement planning. Obviously, it's something that has been a building block for accreditation standards and measures, and also will continue to be a complementary tool for accreditation. So that accreditation really helps you focus in on quality improvement for your agency, and at the same time, the national performance standards is something that can help you think about how to build a very strong system. We at CDC are partnering with many of our partners, including especially ASTO and NACHO, and of course I know APHA has signed on, and many of the other partners that are not just part of this program, in the Healthiest Nation Alliance. And those who are of you who are familiar with it know that that's really all about trying to keep our eye on the ultimate ball of trying to improve public health and health outcomes when you get at the individual, the community, the state, the nation. All of it contributes towards making change. And obviously the National Performance Standards, MAP, all of these are tools that can contribute to that. And the folks that are working on the Healthiest Nation on a day-to-day basis have really recognized that. And they're already in discussion with us on how to really raise the visibility of this as one of the tools that helps to really achieve that Healthiest Nation concept. There are a couple I would say, modules that really get at performance standards in particular areas, environmental public health performance standards, laboratory system performance standards, which is at the state level, that are two of the ones that we've probably worked most closely with, and some of you may or may not be familiar with that. In doing the performance standards, you are actually directly contributing to a Healthy People 2010 objective. In the public health infrastructure chapter, it's objective number 11, and it literally gets at the use of performance standards. And then, of course, I think some of you may remember that that 2003 Institute of Medicine report specifically discussed the performance standards. Some states have actually had legislation that discussed that, and I think that that really further adds to just the national and state pushes for performance standards as a important, viable, relevant tool. Now, I promised a little bit of interesting new information. I wanted to share a few vital stats about some of the latest performance standards use in the field. We are currently working with a host of different states in supporting them in version 2. And in counting those up, there are 19 of 51, given that DC is one of those states, what I would refer to as active states, where the state instrument or a cohort of locals or boards are, through some sort of coordinated way, are either recent users, current users, or very near upcoming users of one of those three instruments. So 19 of 51, so when you look at the performance standards partners and we all seem a little frazzled, there's a lot going on, and I think that's pretty exciting. Of those same 51 denominator, 46 states have had some performance standards activity in it through formal data submission to the reporting system. And in fact, one of those missing states, one of those five states that isn't included, and I won't get anyone in trouble by saying what those are, one of those states is actually one of our near-term users, so once they submit, we'll be jumping up to 47. So that's, I think, kind of exciting. And talking with performance standards users, almost immediately everyone gets at the benefits of this through talking about the intangibles: better collaboration, new relationships, a real appreciation for what public health is and the interconnectedness. It really takes some attention to performance improvement, and of course my third point, transitioning from assessment to performance improvement, is kind of can be very difficult, but it really takes that transition to often get at what we refer to as the more tangible outcomes. And sometimes, in some places, that has been seen as some new grants where the agency has been a partner, formal relationships or access to staff that have really allowed organizations in the public health system to come together. But those tangibles, of course, are also exciting to report when we see that. And finally, the key concepts in the framework have really held up well over time. We chose the essential services back in 1998 as our framework. Well, after some serious deliberation, the group that designed the operational definition, that NACHO, of course, led, operational definition of a functional health department, they also went through that same deliberation and felt, yeah, the essential services still make sense, and let's go with that. Once again, through the exploring accreditation phase, as we're developing the principles for what accreditation would look like. Again, serious deliberation on what that framework would look like for domains of performance for accreditation. And once again, the essential public health services were identified as the appropriate framework. So I think that speaks well. We are all about evidence-based at CDC, so I did a little bit of an analysis. This does not, it's kind of a joke, don't really bring back this as formal evidence-based analysis, but has anyone here ever heard of Wordle? See, I didn't think so.
This is your treat.
I heard about this shortly after the vice president debates, when someone had put transcripts of the vice presidential candidates into Wordle, where they come up with word clouds, and as you might guess, of what were the most commonly used words. And you might not be surprised to hear that, you know, Sarah Palin's transcript had a lot of words maverick in there. But I did this with Public Health in America and the Essential Public Health Services. And this is the word cloud that comes from the Essential Public Health Services. And that, to me, speaks very highly of the fact that we're focusing on the right concepts. It's all about health. and community and people. And when we say problems, we're talking about solving them, not making them, although we might do that too. Public services, and, you know, these are quality right at the bottom. These are the words that were most visible and most commonly used in the framework that we base the performance standards on. And so I thought that was pretty cool. So thank you. I don't know how far I went over my time, but without further ado.
Not too far.